Hello everyone, welcome to Adoption Adventures. Welcome to a new week. Hope everything is doing all positive and good for you. So today's episode is going to be a little bit of a mishmash of topics. It's one of those rambling ones where there's just been a couple of things happened that I thought I'd just share with you, but not any of them significant enough to take up an entire episode. So the first thing that happened was little dude went on his annual camp with the Army Cadets and was away for 10 days. He has reached a point of sort of seniority within the cadets, so he was looking after some of the younger cadets and looking after some of them in the detachment. When he sort of, whilst he was away, it raised those sort of questions and feelings in the household of, this isn't the first time that he's been away with the cadets. He's done that a couple of times now. But I think as he went away this time, Dad and I started talking about the fact that we're getting closer and closer to him becoming that much older, reaching his university days, and there's every possibility that his university experience will mean that he's moving out for sort of a significant period of time. And it got Dad and I talking and asking the question of, you know, how do you actually feel about that? Now, Dad and I kind of come from two different angles here. He said that the first few days that little dude was away, he found that to be sort of quite weird and very quiet. But as time went on, it all just became just a little bit more normal, a little bit more comfortable. I had kind of the reverse. I sort of said, you know, the first few days I was comfortable with and it was all okay. But then as the days progressed, then I started to realize just how quiet things were and how little dude wasn't around and he and I weren't chatting, and I said that as time progressed, I found it even weirder. I think in addition to the sort of the time elapsing, I think there was also the aspect of, in that time, little dude, we'd been told by the detachment that most of the cadets were being encouraged not to use their phones and to not reach out to their families. The first few days they were out doing fieldcraft stuff, so they wouldn't have their phones anyway. So we, or particularly myself, really worked hard to kind of step back my contact and my engagement with little dude in that period, just to give him that space to have a good time. But as a result, it meant that I wasn't hearing from him, I wasn't sort of seeing him or anything. So I think as more time progressed, it was harder and harder for me because I was feeling quite withdrawn. Now, Dad and I sort of then spoke about that and said, how is that going to feel when little dude goes off to university? And Dad said, you know, I think it's going to be really exciting for him. I don't want him making a decision to not go away because of us. I want to encourage that. And I completely agree that I definitely don't want little dude to make any decisions to not live his life or to not explore life or have adventures because of us. But I said to Dad, I said, you know, I know that I'm comfortable with him being away with the cadets because I know he's having a wonderful time. That really helps me. And Dad said, okay, so what happens if he goes to university and he's 200 miles away from you and you know that he's not having a good time? How are you going to feel then? Which I thought was a really, really good question. And it kind of stumbled me a little bit. The conclusion I came to was, if that is what happens, if little dude is away and he's finding himself not enjoying his experience, what I said that I would do is I would find ways to travel up to see him wherever he was studying. And I would go to where he was to see him, spend time with him, and have some fun experiences in and around where he was learning. I would actively discourage him from coming home in those periods, because I think in my head, I would want him to get on board with his local area, find local things that he could enjoy, and meet people locally. And I worry that if we were encouraging him to come home, it might mean that he's not then sort of exploring those things locally, and it's almost like a get out. And when little Lou came back from his trip, he and I sat in the garden, and we just sat chatting. It was really lovely. We just sat chatting for a couple of hours, and I shared this with him, and he said, you know, first of all, with regards to missing you guys, he said the first few days is when I would normally feel it, but because we were out doing something really exciting, really fun, it meant that I wasn't thinking about it. And then by the time that we got back to sort of camp, the shock of it all was gone. So actually I was just enjoying myself, which I thought was really nice. It was a really sort of lovely thing to hear, that actually he was just too busy having a good time. He admitted that he did think about us from time to time and go, oh yeah, I miss your dads. But that thought quickly left him. And I think that that's really awesome. It's awesome that he wasn't sort of held back from having a wonderful experience because of us. So I was really excited to hear that. When we talked about sort of my thoughts about university and that experience, he said that he's been thinking a lot more about the various universities that he's going to apply for, and he does now feel more confident to apply for universities where he would move out. He says it's not a given. There's at least three universities that he's applying for that are local enough that he wouldn't need to do that. But he's saying that previously there were two or three that he wasn't going to apply to because of their location. He's now not doing that. He's now quite comfortable to sort of say, yeah, if they're right for me, then they're right for me, which I think is really, really awesome. In and amongst that, like I say, we sat down for a good 2 hours just chatting away, and we had a really lovely conversation. And it was, I've always said this, whenever he goes away with the Army Cadets, he comes back and it feels like he's grown up and aged up another sort of 6 months in that time. And he comes back just that much more mature. So us kind of sitting down, having a cup of tea together, chatting through life and, you know, having a laugh about these things, it was really, really lovely. And I really enjoyed having that moment with him. And since he's been back, we've had a number of them where we've just been able to just talk, you know, address some topics, talk about some issues. And And that's been really lovely from my perspective. I do really enjoy sort of seeing the young man that he is becoming, which is awesome. Then over at the weekend, we attended, or I attended, an adoption information event whereby I was talking to prospective adopters. Now, I know I've done an entire episode on information events, so I'm not going to go into the sort of nooks and crannies of what happened on that day, because we've done that. What was really nice, though, is I'd seen that a lot of the information that was being shared has been updated. That's the first time I've seen it updated in a while, and it was a lot more user-friendly, and it was a lot more sort of, I'm going to say informal, but what I mean by that is there was lots of sort of more comfortable text being discussed. They were still covering serious topics and everything like that, but just the way that it was presented just seemed a little bit more relaxed, which I thought was quite nice to see. The way that the sessions were run, we actually did two rounds. So we did a morning and an afternoon session. So I got to speak to a lot of prospective adopters. It was interesting. I never write down what I'm going to talk about. I just know that there's a couple of topics that I will keep in the back of my head just in case. It was interesting because my talk changed quite considerably between the two groups. And it was based on sort of the feelings and the emotions I was reading from the room. The first group, they kind of needed, I felt they needed an overview of sort of pulling everything together of a lived experience. The second group, they were really, you could tell that they were being really affected by the discussion around trauma and early years experiences. And there were several people in the room that I was getting a read of and thinking, well, you are struggling to hear some of these stories. So I made a bigger effort on that talk to talk about Little Dude's, I didn't go into his story, but just sort of share a bit about his early years experiences and then where he was now. Like I said, I didn't go into his story, I just gave a roundabout basics, pretty much what I've shared with yourselves in the past, but then talked about where he was. Because I could sort of sense in the room that people were kind of getting stuck thinking just about the trauma. And I remember our episode, you know, our kids are not their trauma. And I was feeling that. And I was feeling that actually we could have lost an awful lot of adopters because this was just too scary for them. I don't know if what I did helped. You never know, but I feel like I certainly sort of started people's learning journey, which was positive. So that I was really pleased with sort of how that sort of moved and developed and grew. So that was nice. I guess the final thing I was going to talk about was today was my final day delivering a training session with the new group that I'm working with. Today we were talking largely about contact and then adoption support. And again, I found it really interesting seeing how that conversation would go, what worries and fears adopters would have, and then sort of ways that we can alleviate those fears and concerns. You know, adopters were sharing their concerns about sort of what happens if our children sort of throw back certain questions and say, you know, why did this have to happen? Why didn't you do this? Why did they do that? And kind of working out how to answer that. We did an exercise which I thought was really good, that I've not done before, which was we were presented with a child's sort of a fake child's profile, and then we were asked to sort of create a contact plan, but we wrote it from the child's perspective, the birth parent's perspective, and then the adoptive parent's perspective. And we asked those questions of, right, what would this person want and who would they want contact with? And we sort of broke down each person. And I found that to be a really, really interesting exercise and a great way to start thinking about contact and thinking about the effects it has. And one of the adopters in the room sort of commented and reflected that as an adopter, as he was sort of writing down all of the different levels of contact and all of the people that he felt he should be in contact with, he said, you know, I'm just looking at this and seeing the enormity of this task, and actually it's not that I don't want to do it, it's just I don't know how I would do it. I don't know how logistically I'd have the time to do all of these things. And I think that was a real honest reflection. And I think it was a real sort of a great topic and a great reflection where he could actually challenge that and say, how am I supposed to do this? I know it's important, but have I now got to play favourites and pick who I should keep that contact with and who I shouldn't? So I found that to be a really great reflection. And interestingly from that, you know, one of the things that he said, this isn't me condemning him, he said, you know, the foster carers, maybe I wouldn't keep that going because, you know, time restraints and blah, blah, blah. And you could see it. You could see why he'd reached that conclusion. Interestingly, then I'm sort of sharing what happened with our experience and said, you know, actually for us and for Little Dude, that's the one that's the most important. And this is, I was like, yeah, I totally see that. Hadn't thought about X, Y, and Z. I think it's one of those whereby you kind of see pre sort of placement, you kind of look and go, I don't know how I do this. How do you find the time? And then once you're in it, I think everything just becomes that much easier. And you just make that time and you find that time if it's what our children need. And I think it's super easy to see that as a really daunting moment, but actually it's one that once you're in that world, it is just going to become so much easier, and you find a way to balance all of those things and keep all of those plates spinning. So yeah, that was a real, I really liked the exercise. I really liked the sort of the engagement from that and the sort of the range of discussion that was had from that. So was really pleased to be a part of that one. And yeah, next week I've got a meeting where I can sort of share views and experiences of other areas and see what, you know, if there's any gaps that could be filled or anything that we think could be changed and altered. So it's really exciting to be part of the sort of like the planning group where we're talking about this and seeing how to better improve the adoption journey. four of those prospective adopters. So really quite excited to be a part of that. I guess really that's kind of it on sort of this week's roundup. One of those weeks where plenty's happened, but nothing massive or significant that you know I need to sort of apprise you of, really. So hopefully you found that interesting. I always ask that question. I actually don't want the answer. it's just been a really interesting week for us with loads of different things, and we're starting to engage in some big questions, and I'm starting to think about things that I wasn't anticipating thinking about, even though you always know that you're going to be working towards our children moving out one day. You know that's going to happen. But in the same breath, I think I buried my head in the sand a bit. So starting to think about that, even though I'm a year away, I am fully aware of how quickly those years go. So let's just see what happens. Keep everything crossed that I keep my sanity. here's wishing you all the very best. Hoping you have had a lovely, lovely week, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.